Good morning. Our New Testament scripture today continues our series from the book of Acts, our series about hopefulness and renewal and the power and mercy of God in our midst. Please hear these words from a story that maybe is not that familiar. It was on the first day of the week when they met to break bread that Paul was holding a discussion with them. He was preaching, actually, since he intended to leave the next day, and he continued speaking until midnight. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where they were meeting, and a young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, began to sink off into a deep sleep while Paul talked still longer. Overcome by sleep, Eutychus fell to the ground three floors below and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and, bending over him, took him in his arms and said, "Do not be alarmed, for this, his life is in him still." Then Paul went back upstairs after he'd broken bread and eaten, and he continued to converse with them until dawn, and then he left. Meanwhile, they had taken the boy away alive, and they were not a little comforted. My friends, this is the word of God to us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, please speak to us through this old message of what it was like to be in church, of what it still is like to be here in church. Breathe on us, O breath of God, and fill us all, please, with life anew. In Jesus' name, amen. Wake up. Wake up. Those of you just now settling in for a nice, long, restful 20, 30 minutes, whatever, sleepy, drowsy, shoulders slumping, head bobbing, somnolent dog day, August Sunday. Church, you know, church can be such a quiescent place for sleeping. Why, I can see some of you starting to bed down even now. Anybody here ever gone to sleep during a sermon? I have. I won't tell you how many times, I can't remember. You know, the preacher starts in this low, droning, monotone sort of voice, going into such detail, mind-numbling about the in and outs of the Trinity, or maybe better perhaps, the enlightening minutiae of Leviticus, or Habakkuk, or even Nahum, and you find yourself slowly, surely starting to slip, slide away into the gloom of somewhere, anywhere else. How long is this going to go on? I remember thinking as a young boy, well, maybe catching perhaps a glimpse of the true meaning of eternity, and I looked up at the ceiling, and I counted all the ceiling tiles, and would look out the window. Don't do that, please. Look out the window. And I'd stare up at those big lights hanging down from the ceiling. And I got to wondering how in the world they ever changed all the light bulbs, and who in the world had the job of doing that, and who could ever forget the pungent, stifling odor in that little country church of all the perfume wafting off the matronly lady sitting behind us, hovering in the hot, still August air. "Wake up," my daddy told me, elbowing me in the ribs. "Sit up, boy. Don't go to sleep. You're in church." But this is church, the place of the so-called somnolent, drowsy, what, peace that passeth all understanding? What'd the preacher preach about today, dear? Oh, about 20 minutes or so. Church, this somnolent, drowsy place of what understanding? Two precious little girls were working so hard with their Lego set. "What are you building?" their mother asked. The little girls whisper, "We're building a church." "Well, that's neat, but why are you whispering?" "Shh, everybody's asleep. The Boy Scouts are in the church taking things in for their merit badge, working on it." And they looked at the pulpit and the pyramids, the communion table, baptismal bowl and font, the organ, curious about so many things. But what they really wanted to know was all the names on the in the plaques back in the back of the church. Who are those people? One boy wanted to know. Oh, well, those are the boys that died in the service. Which one, somebody asked, the 8:30 or the 11 o'clock? Church, for many, has become or can be a place of boredom, or slumber, death, when it ought to be a place of renewal, resurrection, reawakening. It was, our scripture begins today, it was the first day of the week. First day of the week. Please hold on to that thought. It was Sunday. They were all in church, in worship. And Paul was preaching there in Troas, the very place where some years earlier in his own sleep, he'd had a vision of God calling him to come over to Greece to spread the gospel there. And now he's back, on his way back home, going down to Jerusalem. Paul's only going to be in town for 1 week, and he's got a lot to say, and this will be the only Sunday. And so he starts in, and his sermon goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on and on and on. What Paul preached about, commentators don't seem to know, about 4 hours, 5 hours maybe, six. What you need to know is that this was at night. Those early Christians there at the first church of Troas, by necessity, they had to meet, not in the daytime, but at night. See, Sunday was a regular work day, and many of them were slaves. There'd be no taking time off for worship. They had to meet at night. There they all were, we are told, in this big, crowded upper room, up on the third floor. No electricity, of course, just these smoky, hot, hanging down lamps. They're hanging from the ceiling, putting down their acrid essence into the vapid, hot, humid night air. No wonder those present, some of them wanted to go to the windows to get a little fresh air. Open up a window, please. No wonder. And Paul was going on and on and on and on. I mean, the guy's on a roll, whole ball of wax. Last chance to preach to those folks, so he's going to do it all he can. And so, what's he talking about? Who knows? Enthralling chapters of the book of Leviticus, perhaps? Or maybe since they were having a meal, we are told, deftly explaining the intricacies of communion, of transubstantiation, consubstantiation, pneumatic presence, when suddenly, splat, this young man, Eutychus, who'd been sitting up there in one of the windows, Eutychus goes fast asleep. He falls out of the window to his death, right there in the middle of the sermon, for goodness sakes. Falls down 3 stories to the street, dead. By the way, up there in the balcony, you may want to move back a little bit. The boy is dead. Nekros is the word in Greek. Stone, cold, dead. And everyone gasps. Paul quits his sermon right smack dab in the middle, and they run down to the street where Paul kneels over this young man and bends over him. Miracle of miracles. He resurrects him, resuscitates, revives him. Now, don't be alarmed, Paul tells everybody. His life still is in him. Where was I? That's it. That's the story. And Paul's not going to let a little thing like the violent death of the church youth elder or this boy's subsequent miraculous healing get in the way. Oh no, Paul's on a roll. He gets up. Eutychus gets up, dusts himself off. Then Paul heads right on back upstairs. It's only 1 o'clock in the morning, by goodness. Not done with the sermon yet. Paul's resurrection and saving of this dead boy, as one commentator has put it, appears but a mere hiccup in the middle of his sermon. That's it? That's all? And by the way, this boy, Eutychus, his name, it's so interesting. In the Greek, it means fortunate or lucky. Lucky? Pretty ironic, don't you think, in light of what happened to him? So Eutychus, lucky, gets brushed off. Now breathing resumed. And they all head back upstairs. Church starts to resume. Paul keeps on preaching on and on and on until daybreak, and the church continues. That's all? Well, not quite. For we're told in verse 12, they had taken the boy, lucky, away alive. and were not a little comforted. They were all more than a little comforted. What's this odd little story from the 20th chapter of Acts doing in the Bible? Is it a warning? Is it a warning to people, preachers like me, against preaching too long? Please, no clapping. About going on and on and on and on. Believe it or not, the other day I ran across this new little textbook about homiletics, about preaching. And guess what the title is? Saving Eutychus. You know what the subtitle is? How to Preach God's Word and Still Keep People Awake. Maybe I should have read this a long time ago. Is that why the Spirit and Luke includes this story in the Bible? Or is it a warning to listeners? Look, if you know what's good for you, you better not fall asleep in church. You better not. Wake up. Sit up, boy. As my daddy elbowed me. No, I don't really think this story is about sleeping in church at all. Eutychus is not here canonized the patron saint of those of us who cannot stay alive during worship. Maybe what Luke is saying is that this is the way how church is supposed to be. Not just then, but now. Remember, it was the first day of the week, we are told. And at the end, they were more than a little comforted. They were comforted greatly. Wake up. Wake up. For it was the first day of the week. Why do we all come to church, come to worship on Sunday, by the way, not some other day? Anybody tell me? Anybody? This little Eutychus story in Acts, they were worshiping on Sunday, we are told. The text, it's the very first written account at all in all the Bible of the church gathered for worship on the Sunday. And not Friday, the traditional Jewish day of Shabbat. Why Sunday? Could it have anything to do with Easter, do you think? Easter, the third day after Friday, when Jesus got raised from the dead, when Jesus got set loose in the world, let loose among us, and now who knows what might happen. It is Sunday, first day of the week, and I think this curious little story about young Lucky is telling us, wake up, watch out. For you never know what might happen, that this is the way church is supposed to be. Somebody back there on the eighth or ninth pew, that person once overcome, overwhelmed, drowning in despair in an emotional coma, dead, but that person now suddenly has come back alive, full of life and hope. Somebody up there in the balcony, you know, somebody who had sort of given up on life, that somebody's now shaken up, waking up. To new life, new hope, new relationship. They'd fallen asleep to any purpose or joy or meaning or hope in life. But now, shaken up, waking back up. How was church last Sunday? Oh, it was great. Paul made a few points in his sermon, but he went on way too long. Lucky fell asleep, died during the sermon, but then the preacher revived him, woke him up, and we kept on going. We all got to celebrate. My friends, it is the first day of the week, the day of resurrection. Every Sunday, a little Easter, when we come here to remind ourselves that Jesus is raised, Jesus is alive, Jesus is on the loose, and we too ought to get loose, cut loose. There's something about this God that loves to wake people up, shake people up, raise us, God's people, up. You think they might be able to save their marriage? What do you think? Could she overcome her overdose, her addiction to oxycodone? What about that guy whose life's been ruined, who sees no hope, no way out, no options left? Well, what do I know? I'm just a preacher standing up here today, one of our many preachers at White Memorial, just accustomed to seeing people every Sunday raised from the dead all the time in his church. To quote William Willimon, the former dean of Duke Chapel, he says, I could line up before you a whole gang of people named Eutychus, named Lucky, who on some Sunday, some first day of the week, stumbled into this place sleepy-eyed, only to be jolted, rocked, shocked, awake. We were just reading scripture. Maybe we were just singing a hymn, saying a prayer or something, struggling through trying to stay awake during another sermon. And then all of a sudden they fell out of line. They sat straight up in bed, eyes open, like they were raised from the dead. I tell you, it happens all the time. It happens in this place all the time. You never know what might happen here any Sunday. And that's what I think this Eutychus story is about. I'm sure why it's in the Bible. It's resurrection, knowing that Jesus is on the loose. So get ready, get loose, wake up. Wake up. To me, the old 96th Psalm that Chip just read for us tells us so well how to approach church and come to worship. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, it reads. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. Did you catch all the commands? All the imperatives, the do this? Sing, sing, sing. Praise, tell, declare. Wake up. Do it. Get ready. Each and every Sunday. For it's not that we have to be here in church. Oh, Ma, do I have to go? No, it's we get to be here. First day of every week, every Sunday, resurrection, a little Easter, and who knows what might happen here in this place to you, even to me, if we're lucky. Just like Eutychus. Lucky. The man's name was Ogama-san, Mr. Ogama. Ancient he was. I have no earthly idea how old Ogama-san was, but he was always there at Heian Church, the first church in Japan where I had the opportunity to serve on staff. Ogama-san, always there every Sunday at the crack of dawn to sweep the walks, check the bathrooms, even shovel the snow, make sure the heat was working or the AC was on. The doors unlocked, and whether it be morning worship, a church dinner, Sunday school, a concert, a senior citizens outing, the youth group going on a mission trip, the annual church bazaar, putting flowers in the Easter cross or decorating for Christmas, always, always there he'd be. Ever present, ever Sunday, ever faithful, enthusiastic Ogama-san there, right there to greet and meet and welcome everyone. There have been people like him in every church I've ever served, and you know who they are. I once asked him, why? Why are you here so much, doing all this stuff at church, all these things? I pointed out the window. Don't you have a life out there? And he, in his kind, quiet, humble way, just looked at me, shrugged. And he said, I just get this feeling all the time that around here something is about to happen. Something wonderful, astounding, incredibly miraculous about to happen. And I wouldn't miss it for all the world. My friends, it's just like Wendell Berry said. To treat life as less than a miracle is to give up on it all. Wake up. Wake up. Great things. Wonderful, incredible, miraculous things are going to be coming to this church each and every first day of the week this fall, every Sunday. And I wouldn't miss it for the world. You won't either if you're lucky. And the boy woke up. And they all left church much more than comforted. So much, much more alive. Thanks be to God. Alive. Amen. And now may the God of surprises startle us. May the God of peace comfort us. May the God of hope fill us. May the God of life renew us, inspire us, heal us, walk with us, and wake us up to all that is to come. through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.